Okay, here we go. Hour number three on Friday night, and my friend and colleague of 12 years now is back with us this evening. It's Fukushima times 12 years. Hard to believe it's been 12 years. Yoichi Shimatsu is here with us, and his friends in the U.S. often refer to him as his American middle name, Clark, but we'll call him Yoshi. Welcome back, friend.
Well, thank you very much. It's been a very busy time. You know, we've got domestic disasters, this train wreck, this incredibly complicated train wreck in East Palestine, Ohio, which goes way deeper than anyone imagines. I've read a couple articles about that, but there's another one coming out, which I think is pretty explosive. Anyway, so that is happening, and then we have this anniversary coming up, and we've had all this tremendous weather events in California, but not just in California. You know, this jet stream circles around through the Gulf of Mexico. It goes, it dips down very, very far now, you know, farther than it used to, and across the Yucatan Peninsula, up the up the Gulf, slams into Mississippi, Arkansas, and goes, plows its way over all the way up to New York and up to Maine, and you know, all the way up to Maine, you know, in Canada. So these are powerful events, and as I've written about, I think very predictively about these storms, that they are nuclear-powered storms, you know, that they're extremely active. There is, it's very agitated water, high energy because of the tritium content, but also many, many other radionucleotides. So, you know, it's under this tremendous nuclear bombardment, which gives it this tremendous energy, as we've seen in this, more than a dozen storms, one after the other, slamming into the San Francisco Bay Area. Last month, right? And now this one, they're sort of like, a lot of weather people are sort of gleeful that it's not coming, you know, they won't admit it's coming from Japan. This is one that they know is coming across the Pacific. They purposely cut the maps so you only see it, let's say, somewhere around Hawaii. But they're definitely coming on the North Pacific Current right from the Fukushima area. These are radioactivity-driven storms. Then with a sort of sense of relief, and these are very cold because these were happening in the winter. They bump up. They just sort of like a knife, a hot butter knife. These storms are just cutting right through the the Arctic pressure, the very cold air out of the Arctic in the wintertime. And so it's a very cold storm. All that snow dropped over, the Sierra Nevadas and the mountains east of
Southern California mountains, San Bernardino.
Yeah, very unusual. Yeah, I mean, Big Bear gets some snow. It's a ski area. San Bernardino, not so much. Just more of a desert area. So unprecedented snowfall. So that is because
you know
of
how
the
many people died there, Yoshi? A dozen people at least died.
They're not up there in the mountains. Well, they're California. It's balmy California. They're not prepared for these brutal storms that, let's say, people on the East Coast are used to, okay? They're not they don't have the groceries. They don't know really how to use fireplaces. When the power goes out, they're stranded. They don't really know how to shovel their sidewalks, you know, they're pretty isolated from each other. And the other thing is neighbors are not helping neighbors, you know. In areas like that, rural areas, you know, the guys and the stronger gals have to go out and see if all the older folks, people with families, are okay. And you make that extra effort. And by God, you work up a sweat shoveling snow. I've done enough of it when I went to school in Indiana. It's no fun at all, okay? So this is, I shouldn't laugh because, it is horrible and it's not over yet. But there's some relief that the next one will be warmer. You know, it's coming in a day or two from the subtropical zone, from the Philippines. And they're all saying, oh, some warm rain's going to come and wash out this way. The problem with that also, okay, Japanese secretly Japanese trawlers, and they have these, what do you call them, tugboats that mm-hmm. will pull barges very early in the game. You know, like this was the first year of the crisis at Fukushima, 2011. They dumped a lot of radioactivity in the Japan Trench. Okay, that flows down from Fukushima, and that water swivels at the Chosin Peninsula and comes over on the North Pacific Current. But also, this is really terrible, really irresponsible. The barges went down to the Philippines Trench, dropped tons of radioactive material, and that caused some massive storms that really hit Vietnam very hard. Now, the problem is this new storm coming to California area in a day or two, that is the irradiated water from that area. You know, it bubbles up from, you know, the trench. It rises up, and the nuclear particles are hot. And this is my recent article is trying to explain that this whole phenomenon, when they drop these radioactive particles in the ocean, they think the ocean will calm it, but it's quite the opposite. These particles heat up the ocean, and they bubble up, but little pieces break out, you know, very microscopic pieces break out, come to the surface and go, you know, evaporate into the sky. They can ride that, or they come across in the fog, okay? So what we're going to see is San Francisco going to hit again, but that's another source of radioactivity. And then there's a third source way down south. When I was in New Zealand, I wrote an article for you for that. They did the whaling vessels. Went down there, and Obama's good buddy down there, the prime minister at the time, he refueled the ships because they were carrying so much heavyweight uranium that they needed extra fuel, and they dumped it in the Southern Ocean. So it's circulating down there in the Antarctic region, too. This is really irresponsible. The world elites knew about it. The Obama administration knew it and did nothing, okay? It sort of encouraged it, and by doing nothing, saying nothing, and just sort of grudgingly giving nodding approval,
exactly.
You know, it's implicated the United States and many other nuclear powers in this destruction of the environment. And this is, you know, this is contributing to what they're calling global warming. No, this is global irradiation is what's going on, not global warming. And so I'm afraid this winter is going to be bad because the problem is when the snow starts to melt, it gets into the water, gets into the water table, it gets in the rivers, lakes,
yes.
And all that.
Yeah.
And even worse, it gets into the trees and bushes and grasses, which means, let's say, this autumn, but especially next summer, expect some more of those crazy storms, fires. Remember, we had these wildfires, lightning strikes, that was about 4 or 5 years ago. You know,
right.
These, you know, hellacious
and
storms all the way down
what
to
was in the smoke? What was in the smoke? It was being
that's
dumped
the point.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Never,
yeah.
Nobody
it's
talked
your
about
breathing.
It.
And that's
right.
The problem. You're getting in not just horrible levels of carbon dioxide, smoke basically, and resin, tree resin. Can you imagine that tree, very sticky tree resin in the area, impregnated with plutonium particles going into your lungs? And you know, the countries had a lot of problems called the COVID. A pandemic, which people's lungs have been shot by this. You know, do you understand the cycle? There's a cyclical thing here. You can probably resist these flus, but if you've got radioactive particles in your lungs, respiratory system, and your organs, and your brain, and all that, how good is your resistance? You're half dead already. You're walking dead. So whatever viruses come along, just have an easy kill. You know, it's like shooting a deer with three legs. It's broken its leg. It's that easy. Okay, shooting fish in a barrel. So that's, I'm afraid we're going into the next big cycle of destruction over the next 3 years. And this is really, I think, very depressing that this is that the Japanese decided they dumped a million tons of highly irradiated water.
Into the ocean.
Over the last, and it's been happening. They said, we're going to do it.
They've been doing it for years.
They've been doing it all along. Yeah, they've been doing it. But we're talking, when they say we're really going to do it, they really, it's like nonstop pouring has been going on and will continue. So, and no one is objecting. Not a government in the world has the guts to object to this mass, it's basically mass murder. We might as well just, you know, we might as well just put cyanide in the ocean and kill everybody. I mean, you know,
look at what we have. We have Fukushima radiation, which has obviously killed a lot of people. It's nonstop. Yeah. If you look at a map, just do a pull up a search for North Pacific ocean currents and look. Mm-hmm. You'll see the North Pacific current. It actually forms from two currents, one coming down from the north, one coming up from the south. The Kuroshio and I forget the other one. Anyway, they join up and they become the North Pacific current.
Oyashio, the parent, and the black current. The black current and the parent current.
That's it. They join up right east, right offshore, basically, of Fukushima. And
It comes down to sort of the latitude of Tokyo, you know, Choshi, the Chiba Prefecture. There's a point there where the two currents meet. That becomes the North Pacific Current heading straight to San Francisco. You know, I mean, it's incredible how straight that thing is. A lot of the maps you see try to make it curvaceous because they want this notion of a cycle.
Yeah, they try and show it so it's arcing upwards and coming down.
They want to show the sort of this dance-like thing going around, a circular motion. But it's more like a box motion. It's more boxy than that. Mm-hmm. And that's what it says, like a straightforward punch. Once it gets acceleration, it's just the water's pulling. The water ahead is pulling the water behind. And that explains those storms, you know, unprecedented series of storms that hit San Francisco. I think there were 13, 14 storms in a row. You know, that
major driver. They locked onto the North Pacific and they just kept coming.
It's sort of like something like the railroad train that hit East Palestine. You know, it's shocking. There are these weird parallels in this universe. You know, so it's very much like that, a toxic train coming across the Pacific, slamming into the West Coast. I don't know. It's my home state, and I'm really kind of depressed, but also more disgusted than depressed that people there can be so complacent that they have this idiot as a governor. You know, Gavin Newsom, do you know what his first job was? You know what? Oh, he graduated from this like Catholic school for a pack of losers in Northern California. But do you know what his first job was before he became governor? What he did?
No. What?
He managed a liquor store.
He looks like the type.
Funny. Yeah, just a dumb crap who would try to sell you, a lousy bottle of wine at an inflated price, you know, because that's what
How
most
funny.
People drink.
Yeah.
Isn't
what
that ridiculous?
He's still a huckster.
He's a huckster, but a dangerous huckster. He's another one of these dangerous clowns that the Democratic Party seems to produce, you know, mass produce. These voodoo dolls they mass produce. It's kind of humorous, but the problem is that's part of the problem. You have an idiot in charge, and I hate to put it this way, you know, because I was taught to respect the president. You know, my dad, when he took me in the 1950s to Olympic Avenue in Los Angeles to see a parade of a president, and he saluted him because he was one of his soldiers and was very proud of that president. That was Dwight D. Eisenhower. Okay, you know, I learned to respect presidents, but you know, I don't even know what to say about the spate of losers that we've had.
He's illegal. He's illegitimate. He's brain damaged. He should have been thrown out on that amendment that calls for the removal of people who are not competent. But look, Obama is running the White House. Everybody knows that now. And whoever's running Obama is ultimately calling the shots. That's right.
Well,
this is all
the Department
horrible.
Of Defense. That's Obama man. And the guy who runs the EPA, also another Obama man. And they're just committing massive human rights violations, which I've been writing about, but I will discuss this with you later because there's some hot really, really serious hot stuff going on. So, but anyway, back to Fukushima. This, and I never, you know, I didn't think, you know, when I was riding around a bicycle in Fukushima year one, I was sort of like a Cub Scout, okay? I never thought I'd be here talking like this about it this far, a dozen years after. It was unimaginable. You know, I thought it was a big punch, and like Chernobyl or something, it'd be over in, you know, 6, 7, 8 years at the most. But we're on year 12. That's incredible.
That is. The area you went in, and Yoshi went in there at least a dozen times by himself on a bike. He snuck in, pretty much. And
yeah.
Is that area is still off limits, I assume, to this day.
Well, they've opened parts of it up. They've invited people to the one village that Philippe, the French filmmaker, Philippe Carrillo, I took him over there in a dead village. Uh-huh. It's still a dead village.
Right.
And they tried to, we went up to look at a pond. It's a tritiated pond. Because tritium used to be on the mountaintops, and they used to collect it, you know. Mm-hmm. That's old German technology. And we were up there thinking everything's cool, but it's an amazing bridge up there. And this dam up there, there are no pipes down. It's not for water. But there's a huge building inside this dam, okay? And then we were up there saying, this is astounding. What is going on? Then two teams of security guys came rushing up, you know? And then they all stopped, and they sent these guys sort of like you know, sneaking up around us to observe us, who we are. And I tell Philippe, we got to get out of here.
I assume they were armed.
Oh, yeah. And there were a lot of them. Yeah, there were two groups. Mm-hmm. There was one guy, a bunch of guys in uniform, who went over, unlocked the doors, and went down the building. And then when you look at pictures from Norway, the very famous German nuclear project, they had a big tritium facility where they, you know, made tritium out of the mountain water. It was based on that model, this structure we were in. So anyway, Philippe, he's living in Vanuatu. That's a former French colony way the heck out in the Pacific on the far end. It's part of Melanesia, I think, or Polynesia. And then he did a lot of interviews on this nuclear project, and I was the guy who took him. He asked me, he met me in Bangkok, said, do you mind giving us a tour of Fukushima? I said, of course I mind giving you. I don't want to go back there again, but I'll do it for you. And then we went back there. And actually, we had a good time. I tried to make the best of it, you know?
You're
when
amazing.
You're in a situation like that, like that, it's, well, he had his wife with him, his ex-wife with him, so it could be wine, women, and song, but it was a bit of, you know, we're trying to have a cheerful time, you know, lot of joking, a lot, you know, and then we will walk into the exclusion zone. His wife was wearing sandals. I told you, you got to wear boots. You got to wear, you know, boots, thick boots. And she says, my feet, there's sparks in my feet. They're burning. I said, I told you, you know. I know it doesn't look good to wear rain boots, you know, when you're so, you know, she was a movie actress, so she's a glamorous girl, but she was very vain, and I told her, you got to dress up because there's radioactivity all over this place. And we went to a graveyard, and she was just astonished. The village was all gone. Mm-hmm. And there was this old graveyard of everyone's parents, and she was suddenly felt like the child of all those ancestors there. She could feel that they were mourning, you know, they're talking with her, you know, in mourning. So very interesting. So anyway, this, I don't know if that's going to be on the film. I hope it is. There was some amazing moment, but we went to fishing ports and all that. And so I've sent you information on the video. I hope it gets posted. And I think there's a, what do you call those things? A fee for watching the thing. You have to use your card or whatever.
Pay-per-view?
PayPal. Pay-per-view, something like that, yeah. So, because he's got to make some of the money, but he spent a lot of money on that.
So you just sent this tonight to me?
I think yesterday, yeah. It should be posted, It might be posted. But anyway, the film, about the film is at the end. So I hope, it cannot capture, because he is serious. I think he talked to Arnie and Maggie Gunderson and many other experts. Helen, what's her name?
I wonder what happened to Arnie Gunderson. Yeah.
I know he went silent, but the wife kept going. But she's sort of gotten a little quieter. They're getting a bit older, and they did their best. They did a lot, you know. So it's a tiring subject because it's repetitious. It doesn't go away. Okay.
Well, the other problem
that doesn't go away. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. The other problem is simple. Not only does Fukushima not go away, but people's interest goes away, out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
And if it's not mentioned on the on the mainstream media schedule, it's just not important.
Well, if you don't have this, explosions and fire and all that, and helicopters and people dying and you know, if you don't have that drama, people begin to accept it as a normal condition, but it's totally abnormal because, you know, we're seeing a massive increase of children who are autistic, of birth defects. It's covered up by every government in the world. In Japan, I think the birth rate is minus. There's hardly any birth rate now. You know, the population is getting older and older every year. There's been very, very few births because some women risk it, but now the doctors just have to abort a lot of the embryos because they're just like monsters. You know, they're, you know, as one doctor in Hong Kong said, some girls went over there, take a little vacation for, against my advice. I was telling people on Hong Kong radio, do not go. They went because they wanted to eat the food and have enjoy the culture. But a lot of girls came back and the doctors were stunned. They said what came out of their, out of them were embryos that resembled reptiles. They're not human, you know.
Have it's you written like, about that particular angle?
I don't think so. You know, it's so horrifying. I, you know, it's sort of like in Neil Young.
That's okay. If we have any,
but that's,
if
yeah,
we
that's what the.
You have any visuals
that,
on that?
No, doctor. No. It's all suppressed information because people are it's an, you know, people are ashamed. They're embarrassed. They're freaked out.
Yeah.
A doctor in Singapore apparently said the same thing, and I heard this from some female colleagues in Hong Kong who had to tell me this, and she, in a whisper, and that this is what's been happening, and we're trying to tell people, don't go to Japan, don't eat Japanese food, you know, stay back, and then people are still going over there, and
well, this,
I was in
this,
New Zealand.
Reptilian...
I was on a bus, on a tourist bus going to the south, and there was a guy and gal from Australia, and they said, we go to Japan a lot. They were consultants for the nuclear sector. And I said, I hope you don't eat a lot of sushi, did you? He said, we loved it. We ate tons of it. And I said, oh, that's really good. Oh, that's not good. And are you planning to have a baby? They said, yeah, we're trying to have a child. And so I said, would you like me to test your radioactive? I took out my dosimeter, put it in their throat. I said, you're in the red zone, you know? Your thyroid is
the
basically
The thyroid was
gone.
Through the roof. I got it.
Yeah, and it was going beep, 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 and the people on the bus said, what's that, you know? And some of the kids around there heard me. They freaked out, you know?
Oh.
I said, and the lady, she says, no. No, you know, I said, you shouldn't have done that. You knew there was a meltdown, you know. You knew all the stuff's in the air and there was warning. And I think you're lucky you're sitting next to me because this is probably the last warning you get. And I told them about how to begin to chelation and all that. How do you get your diet right to begin to move the stuff out of your body, you know, and then, you know, go to steam bath, do everything you can, but stay
who
away
was
from
this,
Japan.
Yoshi, who was this woman again?
She was, her and her husband were consultants for the Australian nuclear industry who would go to Tokyo to conferences, okay? And they thought everything was okay. They believed their employers. And I said, you can't believe your employers.
Yeah.
They're in on it. And now I said, you better not have a kid because it's going to be aborted very painfully. And you've got to, you know, you really have to chelate. You got to do sweat, you know, you got to go sweat, you know, what do you call it, saunas? You got to sweat this thing out. You got, you know, you just get this stuff out of your body. You know?
Flush niacin is another excellent tool in that. Saunas, you bet. You've taken, see, Yoshi used to go there with his bike. The guy is fearless. He would go in there knowing he was being dosed with a potentially fatal amount of radiation. But he knew how to get it out of his body. And every time he would detox, and he'd tell me, I'm in my detox protocol, and I'm getting it out, I'm working on it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I went through this with him a number of times, and I just couldn't believe he would keep doing that. But there is there are ways to mitigate this.
For every day you're in Fukushima, you guys, I would spend about 5 days in Thailand where it's warm, and I'm sweating it out, and I'm hiking up mountains, hills like crazy to get the sweat going. Open the pores up. You got to open your pores up. And this stuff busts through your pores like a, oh boy, like a bullet. It leaves bloody red spots, and you just got to be happy that this stuff's popping out of you, and you've got to, you know, go to saunas. And then a totally organic diet there in Thailand without any radioactivity. There is hardly any radioactivity in Thailand. So I'm just taking the local food and taking three hot showers a day and just, you know, hiking outside to work it out. And then after about a month, the first time I really had a long time in Fukushima, it took me 3 months in Thailand. I sort of overran the travel visa there to get back on my feet. I was on my back for more than a month. I could just barely crawl out to eat one meal a day, okay? And then crawl back. That lasted for about a month. And finally, I was, I was able to work on the protocol so that the more I could abstain in Japan, drink French bottled water, drink French wine, and wash this crap out of me always, and not eat any Japanese food, which was not always easy because you would talk to people, meet with them, and they sort of invite you to eat something. You can't say no, you know. So it's.
I understand.
Yeah. Oh,
now, I want all of you to look on the left-hand side under columnists for Yoshi's columns section. And you need to go there. And the top story right there now is the new one he was talking about. Yeah. It's posted. And it's got access to the French filmmaker's video. It's got all of it. So Fukushima Year 12, radioactivity-powered storms blast the USA. It's right there at the top. It's the newest one. Those articles are all worth their weight in gold. They're phenomenal. So go and read it and learn.
Yeah, there was a bit of a lapse maybe about, three years ago when there was less radioactivity streaming over. But this water dumping, a million tons of radioactive water, that's incredible. And then they said, we're going to do more later. Okay, so they're pumping it up from the below the ground. And, you know, they've got all this, you know, hundreds of storage tanks. But within the plant itself, the bottom part's flooded. So I guess now they'll start pumping. And that'll be highly radioactive water from down in the reactor.
Terrible
stuff.
Yeah,
they'll be pumping that up, putting it in the tanks, and preparing that to shoot it out into the Pacific. So
where are they? Where are they in terms of supposedly cleaning up Fukushima? And that's almost an oxymoron, but where are they in the process of decades?
Well, all the grasses and most of the trees were cut down and put in bags and buried in sort of remote mountain areas in five provinces, prefectures, excuse me.
Share the death.
So that's Japanese idea, share the burden, you know? And then. The problem is all the nuclear material has been ejected into the ocean underground or is still under Fukushima. So the surface of the plant itself is not so dangerous, but everything around, the water down below, the underground water is highly dangerous. The ocean itself is highly dangerous because there's all these particles in the ocean. They can't get out. You know, it's the raw, these are pieces of fuel rod in the Japan Trench. And I wrote in, I believe I've mentioned in the article, there's a line of clouds you could see off all the way down to Tokyo. It's just these clouds.
I remember the clouds. Yes, very,
so
very obvious.
And that's a trench. That's all hot water from this radioactive material lifting off in the trench and making clouds. That's why I lost my house there. Sometimes during typhoon season, I was stunned. I thought I was safe because I purposely built sort of a remote mountain house near Tokyo, but shielded by mountains. And my thought was, with North Korea and Japan not in very good terms, maybe if Tokyo gets nuked, by the Koreans, this would be the one place I could walk over the mountain and report on Tokyo, get frozen, and come back, and our internet line is to a different part of Japan. So I said, this is a very safe nuclear, safe area because these 2,000-meter mountains around me. Then on the second year of Fukushima, I was up there visiting my house, and then I saw the giant pink clouds coming in. I said, oh, no, that's it.
Yeah.
Then I went back there later, and all the trees were irradiated. My house was irradiated. And unfortunately, I drew my water from the mountain there. The water would come down from a waterfall and I'd go in a little pond, and that's where I would draw my water, and that was radioactive. It's over. I can't stay there. If I stay there, I won't make it, but two or three, the place is depopulated now. I won't last there. There's so many things happening in Japan that doesn't get reported. And the problem with the mountain area, they're marginalized people. They're all descendants of various rebels from the central government, from the emperor, who fled up there. So the Tokyo government just hates the place. They strip mine the mountains for limestone to make cement. They just disdain the people there. So I said, this is a good place for me. That's why I went up there. I said, God, I don't want to be with you. Because I worked in a newspaper, I worked in Tokyo, and I just got tired of all the bureaucracy, all these guys, enforcing the rules all the time, making you behave like a puppet on a string. So I said, this place actually this is a pocket of freedom in Japan. It's very rural, it's very poor, but it's freedom. But now it's a radioactive graveyard. There went freedom. One of the interesting things of my little village up there, after I built a house, and I enjoy it. A lot of friends would come up and stay there. They said, we love it. We're hiking in the mountains, great local food and all that, all grown around here, wonderful, friendly people. They loved it. Then one morning I wake up and I hear on the loudspeakers, and they were playing the song Edelweiss. From the Sound of Music.
Yeah.
Edelweiss, Edelweiss. And then they played about five times, and I said, every time I hear that song, I cringe. So I went down to the village chief, and I said, I really think you should change the song. He says, why? It's beautiful. It's about the Alps. Well, I told him, it's From the Sound of Music. He said, excellent movie. But what Edelweiss is a premonition of is that the Von Trapp family had to leave, okay? They had to go into exile. And for me, it means I'm going to go into exile. I'm not going to be able to stay here. I'm like the Von Trapps, right? I'm sort of a dissident in this society. And I'm going to be forced out of the society. And that song, as beautiful as it is, this haunting melody, but it's a premonition of exile, and that's exactly what happened. Okay, I lost my house to this church.
Is the village still inhabited much? Are most of the people
not
leave?
Much. There's been a real loss rate. A lot of the older people, most people I knew are gone, and then the younger people left. And so it's basically a dead zone now. There used to be a lot of wild boar and deer there. I think a lot of them are casualties, too, of the radioactivity. They couldn't survive. So it's very desolate, much drier. It tends to desiccate everything, the radioactivity. It sort of it destroys your water supply. And then so my plan to cover the great nuclear war that destroys Tokyo, I wasn't counting on Tokyo Electric Power Company being more powerful than Korean A-bombs. And that's the truth. There's far more radioactivity in what they release than what the Koreans can muster in their firing missiles over. I guess that's pretty ironic, huh? It's crazy.
That's very ironic. Yes, it
is. Yeah. So it was an internal war against ourselves. It was suicide. You know, we didn't die on the battlefield. We died of suicide. Right. And the population is radically shrinking. The refugees, most of them still haven't gone back. They live in these tiny little steel huts. And their kids
still
are trying to filter out, but no one wants to take them because, you know, they don't want them to come to their schools or neighborhood because they feel they're infected, you know, with radioactivity.
Yeah.
So, and you are,
what
basically, you go to the restroom and all that, you're going to release a lot of radioactivity, you know. So there's a truth to that. And so it's very, very sad. It's a killing field, basically. It's a giant killing field. And unfortunately, that killing field has expanded. You know, it's expanded, and now California is becoming.
It's kind of on the other end of that
killing field.
That transit. It's the receiving end of an awful lot of radiation, and it doesn't stop.
It's getting directly hit San Francisco Bay Area. Southern California, but especially the Bay Area is getting clobbered. The Sierra, and I went to the Sierra this last summer and. God, it's dry up there. It's desert. I remember as a kid, it was green, but the lakes are drier. The trees are sicker. And so I said, well, radioactivity has done a number on this place. It's not beautiful anymore. You know, the Sierra looks like a garbage forest, you know, a dying forest, shrunken trees. California is dying. You know, it's a victim of radioactivity. And
well, it's dying politically, too, socially, morally,
well, that's
politically.
Why. They're in denial.
It.
Yeah, they're
total,
in denial
total
of
denial.
All their social ills. They have plenty of ills at home, riots,
They don't understand communism. It's real simple. They've been taken over. It's done.
Yeah, it's all the trash people get all the rewards, and hardworking people get nothing.
Right.
And when you have Nancy Pelosi there, where even this madman guy, whose girlfriend is the head of the nudist society, went over and smacked Nancy Pelosi's husband in the head, you know? So it's like people are angry there, you know?
A lot of the anger has to do with these injections, too, and we've talked about that on the program many times. The spike protein gets into the brain, begins microclotting, and causes the death of brain cells. People are changing.
Yeah.
They're not the same. That's part of it, too.
Yeah.
And the damage from the radioactivity is another issue.
Exactly. It becomes, you know, I hate to put it this way, one's brain is evolved over many millions of years. And so the cognitive, compassionate, simian part, the monkey part, the human part, is very much sick and under attack. And what's left is that just the pure brute survival mode, which comes from our reptile answers. You're becoming reptilian. That's what's happening. That's what a reptilian is.
How poetically just is that when you figure that, in all likelihood, the control mechanism of this planet is certainly in bed with the reptilians, who I believe are here and have been here for who knows how long.
Well, look at Joe Biden. Look at his eyes.
Look at the way he stumbles around.
Look at how his hands sort of move in the way. You know, this is not
creepy.
Simian. This is not human.
No.
This is not mammalian.
It's a good
mammalian.
Point. It's not simian. No, it's not
mammalian.
You're right.
You know? No,
the
no,
evil
no,
side
no
of this thing is reptilian, and there's no question about it.
Oh, predators. Yeah, just brute predators. They'll kill anything and eat anything, including their own children. Yeah. So this is unfortunately the reversion. We're going backwards, you know, million years in time. This is we're reverting back to, you know, we look at the Super Bowl, Rihanna and all that, you know. You know, this army of slaves dressed in red. She's a Satanist, dressed in red.
Of course.
And red is the color of blood.
Right in our face.
Blood, yeah, bloodthirsty people, okay? Blood, not in the sense of the blood of Jesus, but sacrifice others, yeah?
Adrenochrome, come on, they're drinking it all the time, blood.
Yeah.
Blood drinkers,
yeah.
That's what they do.
Yeah. Yeah, this is just a terrible, terrible time in human history where progress is just in a state of collapse. You know, it's like a tall building. It's sort of like 9/11, you know, the World Trade Center going down. Our civilization is finally really going down. You know, it is collapsing upon itself. And we see the signs of that everywhere. So very, very hard to not just survive, but to figure out what can be done. You know, where can you find a little niche you can continue in amid this terrible social collapse, which again is abetted by this radioactivity killing everything, you know, killing all the animals you like, the wildlife. You know, so depleted. The world, the natural world that man thrived in, the Garden of Eden, we've destroyed it. You know? And this was, the United States was the Garden of Eden. We have destroyed it.
Couldn't agree more. California, yeah. Of all the states in the Union, California had more diversity, more beauty, yeah. I think, honestly, yeah. Mile for mile, than you'll find in any other state. I'm not knocking any other states, but California was the golden state. Yeah. It was. I grew up in Santa Barbara, and I, you know, come on, it doesn't get any prettier than that. There are other areas that are nice, but
anyhow, but it's a wreckage town. It's a dump.
It's gone.
A junkyard.
It's gone.
It's over, and the people are just getting more and more reptilian, robotic. I don't know how you call it.
That's an important way to look at it, and you're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. It's horrible what's happening. It's like one of those zombie movies, you know? It's just, you know, and it's going to be like that. I'm afraid there's going to be a breaking point. You know, we nearly saw the breaking point during the COVID breakdown, but, you know, there's been a lot of looting where I'm at in New Mexico. There's been a lot of looting and robbery and, you know, daily mayhem in Albuquerque of shooting every day, you know, drug dealers fighting cops. Yeah. It's going mad. It's a madhouse, you know?
Well, they executed that young man, 25 years old, wasn't it? That was Utah. They executed him. He was a sovereign.
No.
He was in law school. He was a sovereign citizen. And he didn't believe in, I don't need a driver's license to drive. It's a God-given right. And I don't need to have a license plate on my car. I'm not playing that game. And they claim he went for a gun. No.
Yeah.
No. What he did was he had a gun in a holster, apparently. And my bet is he took the gun out of the holster when he got pulled over and put it on the floor so he wouldn't be able to reach it. And they said, gun, and they just killed him. They executed him right on the spot.
But bad stuff's going on.
Yeah.
The symbol here is that Alex Baldwin controversy, you know, with the shooting that.
Oh, that's another one. Yeah.
Yeah, that's like, that strikes at the very core, because New Mexico was going to be the back door, you know, the outside set for Hollywood. That's over now. That's all collapsed after this Baldwin thing. Very mysterious of why she was shot, who arranged this thing. So, you know,
what's your take on that? I mean, really, I didn't,
Hutchins,
I followed it, but what was he doing? What's the deal?
Well, the husband took over the whole production company. So among the locals here, there's some, and he hasn't shown his face. There might be some suspicion that he wanted to take out, and the cinematographer was his wife. So there might have been a wealthier woman because he wanted to be a director, and now he's the director of that movie. And he's been able to evade all charges. And he's tied in with Bill Richardson, the former governor, who brought Hollywood to New Mexico. So, and Richardson, we know, is just a totally corrupt Clintonite, you know. So, so there is a high level conspiracy here. Yeah, you got to remember, Jeffrey Epstein was up there in that area north of Santa Fe and had his huge ranch, 3,000 acres, with underground bunkers and all sorts of communications equipment. And a lot of trucks go through Highway 40 there. And that's where they were, you know, during the late Obama era, fellow who was in the Pizzagate thing, they had a big conference inside the White House with these trucking companies, lawyers, and real estate owners. But it was sort of the Gulag archipelago of kidnapped kids. You know, they would transport them out of here. They'd come from across the border. They transport them out here on the highway, take them to Virginia, and put them in safe houses. And then when they need to serve them up to these parties. And then the main modeling agency there, I had a big tiff with those two ladies. And I was managed to bust them. They have the only modeling agency in Washington, D.C., and most of their models are African-American boys, you know? In Washington, I said, how many movies do you make of African-American boys in Washington area? And so the BLM was going to give them a land for a mine up here in our backyard here. And then I wrote a long letter to analysis to the BLM and then to the inspector general. I said, look, this mine is like a couple miles away from this big blimp that is used to do radar across 600 miles of the Mexican border. And I just discovered this mine, the actual owner is a guy in Toronto, a Chinese guy, who owns a mine in Xinjiang province, China. And I said, every mine in Xinjiang province has got generals on board, you know? They're setting up for the Chinese military to open up the border by blowing up the security area and killing the National Guard here. So anyway, I got the thing shut down, but a lot of Democrat Party members were real mad at me for doing it. You know? They said, well, we want to preserve the mountain and the landscape, the Sierra Club mentality. But actually, they were all in bed. They were getting money from these thugs who are going to, cause this war down here. But so luckily,
we're to the point now where you really have to ask yourself, and it's not a rhetorical self question: what isn't corrupt now? What isn't criminal? What isn't compromised? What is left of this country
totally
that has
compromised.
Any?
Yeah, it's totally compromised. Yeah, you got to watch your back here. You got to watch yourself. It's totally compromised. And the honest people are being pushed aside, shunted aside, and are being, basically told to go die somewhere. And
that's
so
the truth.
A bad
that's
regime. Yeah, bad regime. Not a peep about Fukushima. The storms, everyone just feels sorry for themselves. And, and the information's out there, I hate to blame mainly the Democrat Party because the Republicans aren't that much better, but the Democrats are sort of not just in denial, they're just sort of flaunting it, that they're in control for now and that's all that matters. And anything else and anyone else doesn't matter. And this attitude is so narrow. It's so unpatriotic. Yeah. It's so, uncharitable. It's so
un-Christian.
It's
un-American.
It's just un-everything.
Totally.
Un-American. It's totally un-American. Yeah. That's where we're at. It's really a terrible situation we're in.
I don't see. I mean, we can't go to the ballot box to correct this. Maybe on the local level, maybe.
Yeah.
But the national political situation is so gone. It's just gone.
Yeah.
I don't want to raise the white flag and surrender. That's not what I'm talking about here. But we have to be realistic. This thing is just evil, evil stuff.
Well,
and these people are just not Americans.
Well, see the problem with this Fukushima radioactivity is it's actually all originating here with the MOX fuel rods that George W. Bush Armadillo and Obama shipping all these powerful MOX fuel rods to Japan, and that's what blew up. GE was installing a second MOX fuel reactor there when the thing blew. The first MOX fuel reactor blew up. Reactor three blew up. That was all the fuel was from the United States, provided by the Department of Energy illegally to Japan, thanks to George Bush and Obama. And these guys, they were able to walk away from it. People were killed. People in one of the security guards in Houston was murdered. They've gotten away with all these things. Huh?
They kill people all the time. All right, so Fukushima is not being cleaned up. All right, just understand that. 12 years later, it's just as bad as we predicted it would be. We didn't want to think that.
There's no rebound. There's no rebound. It's a dead zone.
No.
It's just a dead zone. And unfortunately, there's tons and tons of water left to go. They finally did the big test, and you saw San Francisco get pummeled, and lots of the mountains around Los Angeles getting pummeled. And
all that radiation is here. No one's talking about it except us right now. It's here. It came over in all those storms, right up out of the Pacific waters that are full of radiation.
And that's very dangerous. You know, having radioactive water, you know, water is the stuff of life. It penetrates everything. It turns to steam. It gets in your lungs. You got to drink the stuff. It gets into the plants. It gets into the trees. Makes them prone to fires. It promotes diseases. You know, all sorts of things. Gets into the brains of animals, of humans. You get a lot more craziness, like that we were discussing. You know, this sort of very
radiation.
Predator. You see all these crazy people. You know, all these street people on the street who act really crazy and violent. It's not just because of drugs. They're on the street. They're ingesting all this radioactivity.
That's right.
24 hours a day.
That's right.
It's getting to, you know, they're getting reptilian. They're not human anymore. And they're zombies, basically. And so, you know, the quality of street people is like getting worse and worse and more dangerous. And the government just, all the legal rights people just releases them. They murder somebody and they're released on the street on the same day.
It's been done. I've seen it in print. It happens. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know what label to hang on it. Bolshevik, Zionist, whatever. We know ultimately that it's all about money and control.
Yeah.
And
Bolshevik,
destruction
Zionist,
of
zombies. Okay, Bolshevik, Zionist,
that works.
Zombies.
No, that's good.
Yeah, that's what it's about. That's where it's
heading
to. It's all leading to that. Just predators everywhere, killing the good people.
It's just being taken apart, this country, and not just this country. And they are taking it down. It is being disassembled. It's true.
Well, it's like one of those apocalyptic movies, right?
We're living it,
continues.
And it's going to get worse, way worse.
Yeah,
that's
the
sad part. The
resistance against this continues, and we will fight to the death. We'll fight to the end. You know, we're not going to go away meekly and surrender. No way.
No.
Okay?
12 years, Yosh. 12 years. That's amazing.
Feels like 12 centuries. Oh, boy.
I know. It's been a grind. All right. You take care of yourself. Be
All
safe.
Right. Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Night. Wonderful person. Wonderful. All right. We will be back Monday. And in the meantime, you're welcome to stop by the network anytime, see what's playing. Hope you enjoy it. Thanks for everything. And we will talk soon. Be well and be safe.